We're going to be doing part two of our series, Spiritual Habits. Today we're going to be talking about prayer and fasting. Anybody want to take a guess at what this is? Walkie-talkie. Anybody used to have these when you were a kid? Right? These ones actually worked pretty good. These were the ones we used when I was a youth pastor. And we would go to Great Adventure. And you could actually communicate on the other side of the park, which was really, really neat. So we would break up the kids and you have a walkie-talkie, stay together. And you have a walkie-talkie and stay together in groups. And it worked pretty well. You don't need that anymore because of cell phones. But if you had these, you remember maybe you had it with a brother or a cousin or a sister or something and you were playing with them and you would give one to the other person and you would go across the yard and begin to talk. And how would you talk? Remember what you would have to do? You'd have to push a button, right? And then you would begin to talk. Breaker, breaker, right? Come in, right? Shepherd or lost sheep. Remember that from Dukes of Hazzard? And, you're talking, trying to come in. And then if they were talking to you and you wanted to answer them, what did they have to do? They had to let go of the button. Right? So they would have, hello, hello, let go of the button. And then you were able to talk. What happens if they held their button in the whole time? I had a little brother who did that. He just couldn't figure it out. He's just the whole time talking. I can't hear you. What happened? You would never hear them, right? You would just, the lines of communication would be jammed up. Because when you were on a walkie-talkie, you needed two-way communication. That was the key, right? You could hear it on both ends. And it both required us to press a button to let somebody hear us, but also to let go of the button so we could get the message back. Well, today we're going to be talking about prayer and communication with God. Aren't you glad that God has a giant walkie-talkie in heaven? Aren't you glad that he hears you? When Jesus died on the cross, it said the veil in the temple was split in two. That was the curtain that separated the everyday person from God's presence. God, in a miracle, there was an earthquake when Jesus died, and God ripped the big curtain that divided God from man, ripped it from top to bottom, symbolizing what really happened, that now we can have access to God on our own. Gave us a walkie-talkie. Prayer is a walkie-talkie. We can talk to God. We have to use it, though, don't we? God's on the other end waiting for us. He has the walkie-talkie in heaven. He's waiting for you. You have to push the button. I have to push the button. I have to reach out and begin to talk to God. God's waiting. You know what else we need to do? We need to let go of the button and let God talk to us. Sometimes we get so good at prayer that all we do is hold the button all the time. And we can talk to God, but it's always about what we want. You know what I mean? God, I need this. God, I need that. God, bless my food, which is great. God, bless my house, which is good. God, bless my animals, which is great. Give me what I want. You know, I want this, I want that. And God's like trying to talk to us, but we're just mindlessly holding the button, not letting him get through. So today, as we talk about prayer, just keep that in mind, that prayer is us talking to God, but prayer is also listening, right? It's listening. So we need both parts of that today. Today, as we look at part two of this series, next week we're going to finish it up. We're going to be talking about spiritual disciplines to help us to be everything that God created us to be. Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden in the cool of the day before sin came in. God wants to have a relationship with you and I. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that a privilege today? That God wants to hear me and hear you. And God also wants to speak to us and respond through his word, but through the presence of his spirit as well. So we want to be all that God is calling us to be. So today we're going to be talking about, like I said, prayer and fasting. We're going to look at prayer first. Matthew chapter 6. You can go ahead and turn there. Matthew 6. We're really going to be looking at starting at verse 5, probably going to verse 13 today. give you a second to turn there. If you have the YouVersion Bible app, it's right there for you if you click events. If you have one of our Bibles around you, it's page 737 as we talk about prayer today. Today we're going to get teaching from Jesus himself about prayer and fasting. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus says this, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get." Look at verse 5 for a second. When you pray, doesn't say if you pray, right? We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray. Don't be like the hypocrites. The hypocrites in their day, they wanted credit for being religious. So they would stand on the street corners or in the synagogues, which was the church of their day, and they would be loud and want everybody to see them. Oh, Lord! Whatever, you know? And they're praying loud, and it says that's all the reward they're ever going to get. People look at them and think, oh, they're so religious. And Jesus says, that's your reward. That's it. That's all you're getting. You're getting people liking you, but you're a hypocrite. You're not right with God. Verse 6 says, but when you pray, again, not if, but when, go by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Verse 6 says, go pray by yourself in private. See, here's the hypocrite's problem, as Jesus just referenced. What were they not doing alone in private? They weren't praying, right? And when they were on the street corners, they got their walkie-talkie, and they're just pushing the button. They're not listening to God. They haven't spent time with God. It's all about what they want and all about looking religious. And they just wanted to do it in public. They weren't even doing it in private. Jesus said, when we pray, we should go by ourselves, as you just said. Pray in private, and what happens? Your Father who sees everything will what? Verse 6, reward you. God will reward you. Is there anything wrong with praying in public? I mean, we do it, right? But it can't be that's the only time we pray. If the only time I pray is when I stand up here, that's really bad, you know? If that's the only time when a pastor prays, me or Pastor Bob or whoever's leading in our service, or if that's the only time we pray, there's really something wrong. Our hearts need to be bent towards God. And if they are bent towards God, if we are listening for God, we want to hear his voice, the Father will reward you. You ever feel like your prayers are bouncing off of heaven? Or bouncing off your ceiling and not even getting to heaven? Anybody? You feel like sometimes prayers might not be working, or you're praying and maybe you don't feel the presence of God? Did that verse say that only if we feel the tangible presence of God emotionally that God will reward us? Right? It didn't say that, did it? It says that if we pray in secret, we pray, he what? He rewards. He answers prayer. So don't not pray, double negative, right? But don't stop praying because you don't sense the presence of God. Listen, there's a barrier that we need to break through to get into God's presence sometimes, right? And you and I, when we're tired physically, we're tired spiritually as well. It's just the way we are. That's really the one of the biggest lessons I learned when I went to Valley Forge Christian College that just amazed me was the fact that God created us mind, body, soul, and spirit, and we're all interconnected, right? And if you're feeling not so good in one way, it affects your other areas as well, right? If you have the flu, how's your faith? probably, you know, you're not really paying attention to it, right? You don't really feel God's presence like you could run through the wall if you were just laying around your toilet in your bathroom vomiting. Am I right? But that's normal. That's normal. God created us that way, right? The truth of God's word tells us our relationship with God and his answer to our prayers and even his presence himself is not contingent upon our emotions. Okay? That's good to know because sometimes we can get down, right? Sometimes we can get feel pretty lonely. What this is saying is God has not left you alone even if you feel like it. You can bank on that. Sometimes we can have anxiety and other things. Listen, God loves us even if we can't sense it at that moment. I want to encourage you to continue praying. Why? Because he will reward you. He sees everything. Some days are easy to pray. Some days are not easy to pray. It doesn't matter if it's easy or not. God will reward. That's good. Can I say as before we move on to the next thought here, sometimes it's like that in worship as well, where we need to break through. You ever just come to church and you just don't really feel like you're just not really into it? Even if the song is nice and the band's playing well, you're just kind of dry. Anybody? We all do, right? Is God worthy of our praise even at that moment? How about if there's a really, really, really awesome message? And then we preach and then the worship team comes back and we have prayer time and God is moving after at the end of the service when we sing again. Is God more real then than he was at 10:01? No, it's the same God. What's the difference? What's the difference? We're warmed up, right? We're warmed up. It takes a little while for us to break through and focus, right? Generally, when we come to church, there's not an opening prayer and everybody's like, boom, and gifts of the Spirit are flowing. That really never happens anywhere because we come in, we just yelled at somebody for driving slow on the way to church, right? Maybe we just threatened to kill our kids in the parking lot, right? Maybe we got here and we remembered that we only put mascara on one eye and not the other. Right? Or you look down and you got two different shoes on, right? Or whatever. Is it just me or do you have those kind of weird mornings too? So it takes a little while. We come. And you know what's true? The worship time we do at the end after the message is always better than earlier on, generally speaking here. Why? Because we've kind of started thinking about God, right? And we started praying and we start dreaming and you're right, God, you do have plans for me. And it just takes a little while. God, you haven't given up on me. That my relationship with you isn't contingent upon me, but it's all about you, right? And then we respond more at the end. Don't be afraid to press through that barrier. You know what I mean? In worship, you feel it. I feel it. It's real. We come and we want to sing and maybe I'm not feeling it. And a lot of us, listen, we want to be genuine. I want to be genuine too. I'm not a hype emotional guy. I'm not going to, you know, get you to jump up and down if we're not really excited, right? I'm not saying do that. You've been to services and stuff where people have done, I hate that. I hate the worship leader telling me, lift your hands up, put one on your heart, put the other one on your elbow, spin around. I hate that. I hate people telling me what to do. I didn't like the Macarena when it was new. You know what I mean? I don't like that. But the truth is, though, sometimes we need to break through our comfort zone. And we need to just remember that God is really, really, really good. And maybe just come together and say, God, it's not about me faking it, but you're just worthy. So today I'm just going to submit in your presence, whether I emotionally feel you or not, but you're good. And this verse says that when you see me praying, you're going to reward me because you see everything. I think sometimes when we pray when it's hard, I don't know that I have a verse for this, But I think that might be a bonus point kind of prayer. I think it might have more value when we don't want to pray and we do anyway. Does that make sense? I don't know that I have a verse for that, but I think sometimes when you don't feel like it, that's when you need to pray. And that's when you need to worship. Prayer and worship kind of all blends together. That's why we kind of went there. Verse 7, how should we pray? Why don't we write some kind of a mantra? Because we don't know what to say, right? So why don't we write up, come up with something, and then just repeat it a bunch of times? Anybody know religions to do that? Don't name any. But should we do that? What do you think? God doesn't want us to memorize religion. You know what's cool with this verse? It doesn't even say we have to pray really, really long. Right? We don't need to pray on and on and babble on and on and on mindlessly trying to work up something because maybe we don't feel it emotionally. We can just begin to talk to God. Our prayers aren't answered because we repeat our words or repeat hand motions or something. Why are our prayers answered? Because Jesus died on the cross and rose again, right? That's why our prayers can be answered, because the veil in the temple, the giant curtain was torn in two, and now we have access to God the Father through Christ. So when we pray, now God's walkie-talkie is turned on. And if we come with open hearts, we can push the button and, God, I love you today. I need you to work in my life today. I need you, Lord. I love you. And when we let go, God responds back through his word, through the presence of his spirit. But even if God doesn't answer you right away, we continue to pray. We just spend time in his presence. But don't worry about not being able to do it right. Right? I told the story before about a guy who really impressed me with his prayer life. Well, what I saw of it. Okay? We got together. We were praying for a need that came up, and this man just started praying, can I lead us in prayer? Okay, sure. And he started praying, and he had this awesome prayer. We got done. I thought, man, his words were great. I wish I could pray like that. Just his phrasing and stuff. I was impressed. Give it some time. You find out he beats his wife and kids, and he's an awful person, right? Probably not even saved. I don't know. That's between him and the Lord, but you're a scumbag in my book if you beat your wife and kids, right? Anybody? Yeah, that's not good. Right? Yeah, you're... But I was impressed that day, hearing his prayers. Let's not be impressed by long words. Right? How many of you are trying to figure out who I'm talking about? I don't think any of you know who I'm talking about. So, but don't try to do something that's not you, but also don't feel bad if your prayers don't sound like they're really fancy, right? It's just your heart to God. Begin to talk. You don't have to repeat yourself. Don't be like them. The Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask. God knows. So Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer. He says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we've forgiven those who have sinned against us. Don't lead us to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. We know the Lord's Prayer. We probably know it more of a King James version. That's how I generally know it. The Lord's Prayer was an example of how to pray. Right? When Jesus says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. It's an outline. So we can go to God, Father in heaven, begin to pray about God's holiness. Lord, I thank you so much that you're separated from the world. I thank you so much that I can trust you. Right? I pray, Lord, that your name would be holy on my lips, that I would never take your name in vain, that I would never take you for granted. Begin to pray along those lines, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, I pray that every plan that you have in this world would come to pass. For my family, Lord, your will be done. In my heart, Lord, your will be done. Whatever it is you have for me. Does that make sense? And it's kind of an outline. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sins against us. And just a time of confession. And begin to pray and ask God to help you forgive other people as well. Jesus encouraged us to pray. And it didn't have to be long or fancy. It doesn't have to be eloquent. Just praying honestly and simply like a child. I have a video clip. It's a short one where a lady is reading from a children's Bible. And in it is the Lord's Prayer. But we can listen to the wording. It's different than the King James wording we're used to. But it's interesting to just kind of hear the structure of it as perhaps an outline to help us realize that we can pray with faith as a child. Just open up your hearts to God. Take a look and listen to this prayer today.
This is Sally Lloyd-Jones reading from the Jesus Storybook Bible, a paraphrase of the Lord's Prayer. Hello, Daddy. We want to know you and be close to you. Please show us how. Make everything in the world right again, and in our hearts too. Do what is best, just like you do in heaven. And please do it down here too. Please give us everything we need today. Forgive us for doing wrong, for hurting you. Forgive us just as we forgive other people when they hurt us. Rescue us. We need you. We don't want to keep running away and hiding from you. Keep us safe from our enemies. You're strong, God. You can do whatever you want. You're in charge, now and forever and for always. We think you're great. Amen. Yes, we do.
Awesome. You're in charge now, forever, and always. God is so good. He is so good. I heard a neat illustration about prayer. We're going to go to fasting in just a second. But Tony Evans gave this example. And since it's football season, it's pretty irrelevant. How many know when you're in a football game, if something doesn't go well for your team, right? Say the referee made a bad call, what can the coach do? Right, throw the challenge flag. And then the referee would see that challenge flag, and then he would stop and he would review the cameras and, you know, and look and see was there something that we missed? And then if so, it's up to the referee's discretion, but they can change what happened on the field, change the result, right? In your favor or not. Pastor Tony Evans said this, prayer is like having a challenge flag. That when we have a relationship with God, particularly when we're praying about something that we need, right? Or an injustice, it's like we're in the world and we're watching life go on around us, but something happens that's not right. Okay? And we're like, that's not right. Perhaps somebody gets sick. Perhaps you're hurting financially. Whatever the prayer need is, when a need comes and something isn't right, we throw the challenge flag. God in heaven, who is the ultimate referee, stops everything. He looks and he reviews the tape. And he may change what happened in our favor, but that's only going to happen because we throw the flag. Does that make sense? Now I understand the analogy only goes so far because God knows everything and the referees don't. But the interesting thought is, he says, perhaps there's times when we don't get God's answer to prayer simply because we don't ask. In fact, James, the book of James says, you have not because you ask not. Maybe when we see somebody sick and we see a need, maybe we should throw the cosmic challenge flag. God, our world is broken, but I pray, Lord, that in this case, you would undo what's happening and bring healing. And guess what? Sometimes God does, right? How many of us have prayed for somebody and you saw something happen, right? You saw healing or something. God absolutely does. What if we don't pray? Might not receive that answer to prayer. Don't worry about not having the right words, right? Don't worry about not being fancy. Don't worry about needing to babble on and on and on. In fact, Jesus said that's not a good thing. God knows. Just talk to God. I thought that was an interesting analogy of when we see something broken in our broken world, prayer is like bringing God's attention over here. Jesus, you're able. Meet this need. Meet this need, Lord. And sometimes he absolutely, absolutely does. Let's talk about fasting. You can turn in your Bibles back a couple of chapters. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. This is when Jesus was tempted by the devil. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he ate at the country buffet." No, he fasted. He fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So let's talk about this. What was Jesus doing? He was seeking God and fasting. One more verse that's on the screen. We'll look at this one, Matthew chapter 9. Jesus is talking. People were complaining because his disciples weren't fasting, right? So we're supposed to fast. This verse shows Jesus was fasting, right? Matthew chapter 9, verse 15, the disciples were not fasting at this particular period of time. And the people who came, the religious leaders said, "Hold up, why aren't your disciples fasting?" Right? If you're from God, you guys aren't even spending the time fasting like we are. It says, Jesus replied, "Do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." Jesus told them clearly, at this time, while Jesus was there on earth, it wasn't a time of fasting. Why? Because it's like the groom of the wedding has come, right? God, Jesus, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, was with them, literally with them. He's with us today, but it's different. He was bodily with them. You know, they got up together in the morning. They went and ate breakfast together. They walked down the road together. They did everything together. So Jesus told them, while I'm with them, this is not a time of fasting. This is a time of feasting. Celebration. Jesus has come. The Messiah has come. So Jesus said, don't worry. They're not fasting because I'm with them. Listen, for us, there will also be a time when we no longer fast. When is that? When Jesus comes again. When we're with Jesus in heaven, we will no longer be fasting and abstaining from worldly pleasures because Jesus will be with us in our midst. It'll be a time of celebration, right? We read about the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to eat with the Lord in heaven. We look forward to that day. But until Jesus comes again, we're sandwiched in between this time, like we talk about at Advent, at Christmas, right? Between the first coming and the second coming. We live in this time before Jesus' return. So right now, these last three words, this is where we live right now. Because Jesus left. Someday the groom will be taken away from them. Jesus left. He's coming back, but he's not here right now physically. One day he will return. But it says what? They will fast. So the implications here are if you're a Christian, we fast. Right? Do you see that? They will fast. So let's talk about what fasting is. Fasting is about starving our flesh in order to feed our spirit. Fasting is about giving up something that we like in our world today so that we can spend time and grow with Jesus. Fasting is an acknowledgement that there's good things to come in heaven and life isn't all about today. We can say no to things today because we know we have a better future ahead when Jesus returns or we go to be with him. So fasting is about stopping the pressures of daily life and the things that we normally do, and remembering first and foremost that we're a part of God's kingdom, right? So God's kingdom is number one, and it's not about me. Let's talk about fasting. What is fasting? Fasting is when you stop something in order to seek a spiritual blessing. You stop a physical thing in order to seek a spiritual blessing. What are some things we could fast? Food, right? We could go for a period of time and fast food. Should we fast food and water? No, that's not wise. You know, Jesus had a spiritual fast in a desert, but he's Jesus, we're not. If you try to fast for 40 days, food and water, you're probably going to die. Give us a heads up. We'll start writing your funeral now. No, I'm kidding. But you don't want to do that. But with wisdom, fasting is good. To abstain from food, perhaps. There's other kinds of fast as well we'll talk about briefly. But the main thing we think of is food. And again, we need water, so we shouldn't do that. But fasting can be going without a meal. You know, I don't think I physically can go without a meal. I'm kidding. Probably, yeah, you're like, no, you're not. Yeah, right. But fasting can be going, saying no to a meal, right? But here's the thing. It's not just not eating lunch. If you were just too busy and you didn't eat lunch because you were too busy, that wasn't fasting, right? Fasting is when we give up perhaps a meal, and we come to God and say, God, I'm not going to eat lunch, but during the time that I would have prepared lunch or during the time that I would have eaten lunch, I'm going to spend time with you in prayer. Does that make sense? So spend time in prayer during that time to hear from God. Usually when we're fasting, we have a reason to fast. So think of, before you start a fast, think of what you want to get out of the fast or why you are fasting. What are some good reasons to fast? You want to hear God more? Or you need an answer to prayer, or you want God to have more control over you. You want to be able to, again, hear him clearly. You want to kill the flesh. That's a big thing that happens when you fast. When you say no to a meal, it could be one meal. It could be maybe two meals. It could be a day. If you've ever fasted, you find out that you're more than you think you are. The whole mind, body, soul, and spirit thing, it becomes a little bit more clear if you're fasting for a day or so. What do I mean by that? Because I just feel like I'm Jim Bradford right here, right? I'm just me. But when I'm fasting, you can get a little grouchy when you haven't eaten lunch, right? Or maybe you're fasting for two meals, or maybe it's a day. And by the next day, your stomach's growling, right? And all of a sudden you're like, I want to worship God and spend time in the Bible, but I'm stinking hungry and I want to eat something. Remember, Joe was telling us when we did the Daniel fast, he saw a squirrel and wanted to kill the squirrel and eat it. He was so hungry that he was literally ready to kill a squirrel running by. I don't see squirrels and get hungry, but he was so hungry from the Daniel fast we did, and that's what he wanted to do. So, but you'll see that there's more to you than you think, and you'll start to see your fleshly side come out and just be a little nasty, and you're like, I'm not dying, right? I ate 30 minutes ago. Or whatever. I ate yesterday. I'm fine. I drank water. I'm hydrated, but I'm nasty. I didn't get what I wanted. And usually after a little while, you can begin to hear God even more because we're saying no to the physical and we're saying yes to the spiritual. And God, who sees everything, begins to reward us and we sense his presence. Fasting has tremendous benefit to it. For some of us, we shouldn't fast all the food, right? For some of us, for health reasons, we can't. It's just not a good idea. What are some other things we could fast? As I was reading a great article. I have it here that I can hand out in a little bit, and it's going to be shared on Facebook as well. An article about fasting, and there's another article which was really, really fantastic. Introduced me to a juice fast. I like juice. But it's not, you can't have juice, but the fast, it's a great idea, because you can fast food and not eat fast food. That's a different thing. But you can stay away from food if you want, if that's what you want to do, and you can drink just water and juice. So if your blood sugar starts to feel a little off or you start to feel a little bit weird, you can drink juice and it could help give you some nutrients to get through, but yet you're still you're still fasting for God, right? And you could still spend that time in prayer and worshiping God. I thought, that's a great idea. I like that. Cheesesteak fast wasn't in the book. You can't eat just cheesesteaks for a week. That wasn't in there. I was looking. But yeah, you can, yeah. But that was good. What are some other things that people fast? Sometimes they don't fast food at all. Sometimes they fast TV, right? Electronics. Facebook. Wow, anybody got the shakes just thinking about fasting Facebook? Okay. But the point isn't just to get off Facebook. The point is to spend time with God in prayer during the time you would have done the other thing. So we think of fasting food, and that's good, you know, but for some of us, we just can't, or it's just not wise according to your doctor or whatever. There's a lot of other things we can do. The big point of fasting is give up something for that benefits you in the physical realm in order to feed on the spiritual realm during that time. Joanna, were you going to share? Oh, okay, electronics and stuff, right? Yeah, there's other things that we can absolutely fast. Fasting helps us focus. It helps us to realize what's important. It's only when we say no to ourselves that we can begin to see how selfish we are, right? How many of you, not to take away your reward in heaven, but just by a show of hands, how many of you have spent time fasting something at some point? Can I see your hands today, if you wouldn't mind sharing? Just as a way to encourage us. Would anybody like to share maybe something that you gained, just really quickly, but that fasting was beneficial for you? Anybody? Anything that maybe you learned or... Maria?
Lost weight.
Okay. Right, right. And it can have absolute benefits. Some doctors think that fasting food for a period of time can be a beneficial thing, right? But losing weight can be good. God does answer prayer. Anybody else? Anything? Yes? Yeah. Right, that's true. You learn that the things that you need, that you think you need, you don't really need. We only get that clarity when we say no to ourselves. If you've never done it, you'll be surprised. You might come, and again, you can fast a meal or for you. If you've never fasted before, don't jump into a week fast or something like that. Just kind of go into it slow. You don't have to tell everybody, but maybe you could skip lunch or maybe not do TV for that day or a couple of days or whatever that is, but spend that time in prayer and you'll find that the spiritual reality of God and his presence will become clearer because we quiet down all the other noise. So here's a good short video clip that talks about focus real quick, and fasting certainly helps us get more focus.
So I'm out here playing golf with my man Ryan Pickett, the lineman for the Packers. He's on a 40-day fast. That's why he's so skinny. And I hit this ball, and I didn't know where it went. So I asked him, did you see where the ball went? And he said, well, I got some good news and I got some bad news. I said, well, tell me the bad news. He says, the ball went in the water. So I'm thinking, what could possibly be the good news? He said, it went exactly where you were aiming. A lot of times, we're aiming, our only problem is that we're aiming in the wrong place. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Make sure that God has directed your path in the right way before you start swinging. because if you're aiming in the wrong place, you're probably going to end up there.
Amen. Fasting helps us hear from the Lord so we know if we're aiming in the right place or not. It helps us to hear God better. And again, for some of us, maybe television, smartphones, social media, something would be a good place to start. Maybe it is food. But think through what that is. And I want to encourage you to spend some time with Jesus this week. I'm going to do that. There's some great practical tips. This is a printout from an article that I actually am sharing on Facebook. It's going to be up about 11 minutes on Facebook. Scheduled to be shared right at 11:30, so you could check this out on there. It's the same article. Also, if you have the YouVersion Bible app, this article is also shared in that currently. If you don't have that, you can grab a copy of this after service. It's a really good practical article about fasting and what it means. And also, at the end of this article is a link to another article that was fantastic. I didn't realize that till after I printed this out. I read the other article as well. It's great. You'll see that, right? If you're going to look at it online, it'll say there's another article, Sharpen Your Affections with Fasting. It's fantastic. There's some scripture and talking about different ways to fast. Fasting, when we hear that, we think, oh, geez, you're telling me to not do something that I want to do. That's not fun. Let's look at it this way. We get to hear from God clearer than ever. We shouldn't look at fasting as the thing we know we should do, but it's just not fun. We should think through our fast and plan it, right? We could fast chocolate. We could fast meat, if you were so inclined. you could fast certain kinds of things. A lot of people do that, right? You can go on a whatever. If you spend time with God, we get to hear him clearer than ever. This is an awesome opportunity to begin to kill the flesh and awaken the spirit. And God loves us. And oftentimes, fasting might be the thing that helps us take the finger off the button so we can hear God. Because we're so busy and we feed ourselves constantly, food or entertainment. We do everything we want with our body. Chocolate, whipped cream, social media, sports, whatever it is we want to do. And when we fast and we say no to something we want and we think it through, we have a goal, we realize how long we want to go, and we actually do that and we spend time with God, we are releasing our finger off the button and able to hear from God. And you'll find, I promise you, the next day or so, you're going to hear from God. Even if your stomach is, you can hear God's presence even more. Any questions quickly on fasting? I know it's a big topic. Anybody have a question about that? No? Awesome. I want to encourage, yeah.
Drink coffee?
Which, great question. With fasting, you can do anything you want. Okay? So there are no rules. Even the Daniel fast wasn't in the Bible. So you could follow that or not, right? You can do anything you want. It's giving up something for God that's between you and God. Can you drink coffee? That's totally up to you if you would want to or not. Right, right. And if you're going to fast, though, and just drink water for a day or two, to be honest with you, if you want to give up the coffee, that's what I would probably do. I would plan it out and cut back on your coffee. Maybe take a week to slow down instead of if you drink 7 cups on Sunday. Cut back to 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Once a day.
Oh, okay.
Once a day.
Yeah. But it's totally up to you. But most people do. They would cut out the coffee, but I would recommend backing off for a few days. So you don't, it'll save you from getting the headache. Mm-hmm. So, and when we did the Daniel fast, we stopped doing sugars and all kinds of stuff. If you were a part of that, that was hard. And it would have been wise to slow down a little bit beforehand. And they say after a fast, you should introduce food slowly into your system as well, if you're not used to it. After 21 days of the Daniel fast, I broke my fast by getting a cheesesteak immediately. I didn't do anything slow, and it was glorious, and I needed it. But sometimes it's wise to, that's a true story. I did. I was like, I'm done with this. Thank God, 21 days, I didn't die. Well, the Lord is so good. We're going to go to prayer right now and sing a song of just wanting more of God's presence. If our worship team wants to come up, I love this quote from A.W. Tozer. We have as much of God as we actually want. We have as much of God as we actually want. See, fasting is just our way to be able to talk to God. God, I love you. You're number one. Don't we say Jesus is Lord? And many times cheesecake can be Lord, right? Or Facebook can be Lord. Already, I know it's football season. The NFL or our sports team can be Lord. And while we all cheer and we, you know, we can be fans, honestly, if Jesus isn't Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Fasting helps us quiet ourselves to hear what we're really like. Some things will make you mad or whatever, and that gives you the opportunity to learn more about yourself and lay it at the feet of Jesus and let him be number one. You can, if you feel God putting it on your heart to fast the Super Bowl, you can, absolutely. Yeah. Honestly, if I felt the Lord wanting me to do that, I would. I don't. So thank the Lord for that. And I really hope he doesn't ask me. See, then it's going to happen, right? Why'd you even bring that up? Can't do that. Well, the Lord is seriously good. No, you're right though. Seriously, there's different times. And what we would, if that would be the case or whatever that is, give it to Jesus. Spend that time in his presence. I'm telling you, he answers those prayers. Pray all the time, but giving up stuff to hear from God needs to be a part of our personal private life. We don't have to tell everybody about it. And again, the article has a lot of good practical things. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, God, we give you praise today. I thank you so much that you reveal yourself. Last week we talked about how you reveal yourself through the word. And I thank you, God, that you also reveal yourself through prayer time, through fasting, that you laid out this blueprint for us to get to know you better. There's so many religions around the world where the people can never get to know their God or gods better, that everything is just confusing and it's distant and they can never know if they're right with their God. But I thank you that our God is clear, our God is revealing, and you even promised that you would speak to us and work in us and through us, even through times of fasting, God, that we can even get to know you better. I pray today that we would take advantage of that, Lord, that as we read our word, as we pray, as we sing, as we fast, we would hear you, we would sense you, and we would see you as the God who sees everything that's done in secret, but rewards us. And today we thank you for that. And we pray for answers to prayer. Help us, Lord, today. In Jesus' name.